Good morning, and thank you for joining us out here in sunny West Texas at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Dear Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we humble ourselves, Lord, and we ask that you give us the message that we need to hear, Lord, not necessarily the one we want to hear. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming and allowing us to meet together, to fellowship, and to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Learning to thee, I'm learning to thee, I'm learning to lean on Jesus, and I'm finding more power than I've ever seen. I'm learning to lean on Him.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let my enemies triumph over me. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
We had some excitement up front there at the keyboard. There was a spider on it. And if everybody knows Cheryl, that is not her favorite animal. But she kept playing, but she was getting further and further away from her keyboard and stretching out her arm. It was pretty funny. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
There's been a song going through my head all week long. And I'd like to read some of a verse to that. And then I want to get into the scripture relating to it. It's The Voice of Truth by Casting Crowns. It says, oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat I'm in onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is, and he's holding out his hand. And the waves are calling out my name, and they laugh at me, reminding me at all the times I've tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win. You'll never win. And in Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And they were come, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Picture Peter in that boat. Put yourself in his place. You're in that boat with your friends, and you see Jesus walking. Would you have the faith to go over the side of that boat and put your foot on that water? And the waves were rough. It was a rough sea. Would you have the faith to do that? And once you, if you did, and you stepped out and started walking, and unfortunately your friends are in the ship saying, who does he think he is? Does he think he thinks he's better than we are? He'll never be able to do this. And the waves are crashing around you, and you lose your faith. You start to doubt. and you start to sink. Jesus puts out his hand and raises you up. And the next thing you know, you're in the boat. How many times do we step out in faith and this voice in our head says, what do you think you're doing? Are you crazy? It's never going to work. You're going to fail. How many times has that happened to us? It's happened to me. And how many times do we turn back? Or how many times do we say, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going forward. Where is our faith? Where's our trust? If we believe God is with us, then we should never turn back. We should always go forward. Unfortunately, we're our own worst enemies. And sometimes our friends are too, our so-called friends. Our friends can sometimes bring a lot of doubt in our head as to where our walk is, if we're walking in faith, if we're doing what God's called us to do, and we allow that to stop us. But we have to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Now the chorus in that song is, but the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. The voice of truth says, this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. And who is the voice of truth? That voice of truth is Jesus. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, he is called the voice. In Revelations 1:12, he is called the voice. Jesus is the voice of truth. And we have to decide we're going to listen to him, not to those doubts that come into our head, not the things that people say to us. We have to step forward and walk out in faith, because in Philippians chapter 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we have that ability to step out in faith. We have that ability to step out of that boat and start walking on water, because he can do all things through us. He gives us the strength to do it. So start kicking those doubts down. Don't give into them. Fight. We're in a battle. It's a fight. We're in a race. We want to come in first. Second place stinks. You know, I don't want to go to hell. So we need to just keep our eyes on him. And in weeks past, we've been talking a lot about faith in the Bible studies. And we've seen many, many examples of people in the scripture who believed God, who had faith. We can be like that. The second part of the song, and I'm not going to read it, it talks about David standing against Goliath. And because he stood in Jesus, who he didn't know at the time, they didn't know who Jesus was, but he walked out there in faith, believing God would do what he said he was going to do. And he defeated a giant, this little kid, with a slingshot and a stone. I've yet to face a giant in person. I face giants in my mind. And through Jesus, I can defeat them. And so can you.
Free from the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood.
love. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Now I'm going to start out over in Galatians, then a kind of, sort of continue on, chapter 5. And I'm going to start at 24. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Think of those words. If you be in Christ's, you have crucified this flesh. You have put it off. You've sent it away. This flesh was made from the dust of the earth. It is corrupt. If we kill that off which is corrupt and stand and walk in the Spirit, we have strength. And we're not to keep that strength to ourselves. We are to share that strength with all those around us. We're to help them. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What works do we have? Well, first of all, we have the works of the Lord. We have going out and delivering the word to preach the gospel to every creature. We also have whatever works that we've been given by our authorities. We should go out and do those works as if you are doing them for the Lord. To stand tall no matter how much you do not want to do what has been given you. Believe me, I have no joy when I've got to go clean toilets or work on septic systems. And I am not always in the place where I should be when I am taking on those tasks. Actually, probably about 90% I'm not where I should be. I'm not doing it with joy, and I know I am wrong. And I have to repent at those times. And there's always going to be things that we take on ourselves, that we say we'll do a certain thing, or we'll take care of a certain task voluntarily. And then again, we allow things that shouldn't interrupt what we're doing. If you take on a job and agree to work for somebody at a certain wage to do whatever specific task it is, you should do it with joy, just as you're doing it for your authority, or just as you're doing it and walking and doing what the Lord has commanded you to do. They're all the same. This flesh will sit there and try to lead you away from that and take you askew. The flesh does it through the world, because the world's going to throw at you the TV, movies and DVDs, commercials, games, let's see, computers, let's go for a little bit of everything. You've got Facebook out there that'll run you all over the place. YouTube. You've got YouTube. You can watch videos day and night, 24 hours a day, and go straight to hell. There's everything out there that is going to vie for your attention to try to pull you away. And even your own mind, if you allow it, will drift you off of subject and take you where you should not go. It'll distract you. It'll pull you away. You have A, B, C to do. You get A done, and then all of a sudden it comes to B, and then it's, oh, wait a minute. Let's eat lunch, okay. Oh, wow, did you read this on the computer? And next thing you know, you're way off and gone. What happened to B and C? Well, we can do those tomorrow. And I'm speaking about myself. I can be distracted and pulled away the same as anybody else can. Sometimes I don't want to fight against it. I like to get on the computer once in a while and play my games. But I can let them distract me. I can let them pull me away from the work that the Lord has for me to do. I don't have the neat thing like Cheryl does to be able to sit there and do a little bit of witnessing on the computer while she's playing, because she's usually playing with other groups of people. Me, I'm on my PC. It's me and a machine. And there are times that I would rather be me on that machine than me doing the things that the Lord would have me do, that my authorities want me to do, and that I myself know I need to do. Can anybody else relate to that? We can't let these things mess with us. Back to the word in 5, it says, "For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth unto the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption.
But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's what I want. That's my ultimate goal. I don't want to be led astray and end up going to hell. I don't want anybody that I've ever met to end up going astray and end up in hell. I don't want to stand before the Lord on the day of my judgment and go, why didn't you help this one? Why didn't you help that one? Why didn't you give my word to this person or that person? Think about that. You will give an account on that day. And my prayer is that nobody gets up there and Jesus looks at them and says, get thee away from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. And I don't want to be the one when I go up there that has to stand up there and he wants to know why you were a worker of iniquity when I was around you. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you claim to be His. If you do His works, as He has commanded us, you should be able to give a joyful report. It should not be a report of sorrow. If you have to defend yourself, then you're wrong. You should never have to defend yourself on what you've done in your life. You shouldn't have to try to come up with excuses. You should be able to stand and do the things that you know you should do. You should be able to do them joyously, and you should be able to do them as if you're doing them for the Lord in all things. Stand, walk, talk, and love Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the light, and no man comes to the Father except through Him. Where do you want to be? It is a choice. He's given us free will. It's your choice. You get to choose. Where do you want to end up? There's only two destinations. There ain't no middle ground. Instead of thinking it as a fence, some people say that some people need to get off the fence. Think of it as a razor blade. You're not going to stay in the middle very long. You're either going to go to one side or the other rapidly. The words we speak, the deeds we do, every day, the littlest things can sit there and encourage or discourage another person. I know, I can do it in a heartbeat. It's not always easy to sit there and humble yourself and in the flesh encourage somebody when they're going through a hard time. Especially if it's a hard time that you've had a problem with in your past. It's easier to agree with them and let them stew than it is to look at them and go, no, you're wrong. And encourage them to change their thoughts. Encourage them to change their patterns. Then again, it can be hard for us at times when we're not in the right place and not in a good place to want to go to those that we know can help us. I know there are times when I'm not exactly in the right mood or the right spirit. And believe you me, the last thing I want to do is to go talk with Davey. Because I know I'm going to find out that I messed up. But I also know in my heart, Davy is going to not necessarily make me feel good, but Davy will tell me what I need to know. He will tell me what I need to hear according to the Word of God. Then it's up to me. The same goes for any of us when we go. We don't necessarily want to go to that minister or that pastor or that evangelist or that teacher and say, look, I'm having a problem. Normally, the biggest reason we don't want to do that is because we don't really want to hear the answer. We'd rather play around with our own little pity party for a while. Because we can play with our little pity party for a while and eventually convince ourselves we're right and feel good. The only trouble is, we'll be setting a path for ourselves to continue down that way and end up going to hell. And I'm guilty. If you can't raise your hand right now and say that you're not guilty of the same thing, then I invite you to go back and, where was it? I lost it. In 6:3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Don't be deceived. There is nobody in this ministry that is one of the ministers that is going to sit there and tear you down. We might tell you you're wrong, but we're not tearing you down. Because we're going to show you where you're wrong, and we're going to try to encourage you to change it. It comes down to doing what Jesus would do. It comes down to laying aside your own feelings and emotions to stand up and be strong for others when they're down. It comes down to walking as Jesus walked and doing the things he's commanded us. Amen?
Amen.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon his throne, and unto the Lamb, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength, be to our God forever and ever.
Forever and ever, amen.
trumpet blowing, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
My chains are gone. Praise the Lord.
Hey, Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that you have given us here today, that we may hear the words that we need to hear. Father, we thank you for going with us as we head out this week. We ask you for strength and guidance. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.